The Vietnam War has been known at most for being one of the most controversial wars that the USA became involved in. There came a lot of disagreement with deciding whether or not it was a good idea for the US to become involved, so much to the point that US forces were finally withdrawn in 1973. Causes for the altercation lied behind communist forces from the North fighting against South Vietnam for control. With the US being democratic, it was initially felt by some that they should become involved in order to prevent further communist influence in the world. As a result, majority of citizens supported U.S. involvement. However, as time went by, with more and more troops being sent to Vietnam, more of them also got killed, which led to attitudes on the war becoming more negative. Anti-war protests ended up increasing throughout the country, and reached a point where President Johnson decided to start withdrawing troops.
You know, for the first time in American history, people were very vocal about their disagreement and the involvement in the war. A lot of Americans, they thought that they were wasting their time there, that they should be focusing our attention on Russia or China instead of being in Vietnam. People also thought that the draft was targeting blue-collar Americans, poorer people, and just minorities in general. But one of the biggest influences to this was the media. People, you know, they had televisions, they could see pictures of soldiers dying, of Vietnamese people dying, and they didn't like it, and they started to become vocal, and they started to protest about it. And a lot of the vocal people that were protesting and that were inspiring people that were protesting were musicians that were making songs against the war. There was a lot of loud anti-war music that was being made at this time, and that's what we wanted to talk about today. So when I was looking into anti-war music during this time, Joan Baez was a name that just kept popping up to that top of the list. Joan was a prominent folk artist at the time who was heavily involved in anti-war protests. She even had gone all the way to Vietnam to talk about human rights. Her obvious anger in the war and disagreement in what was happening, it translated directly into her music. One of her most notable anti-war songs in the Vietnam era is Saigon Bride. The song is a story telling from the point of view of a soldier that's leaving his bride behind as he went away to war. And so even though, you know, the song is obviously from the point of view of that soldier, it definitely inflicted a lot of her own views about the war. In the song, she sings, "Some say it's referring to Vietnam, yellow, some say it's red, and it will not matter when we're dead." Clearly here she's implying that going to Vietnam is going to result in the soldier's death here. In the next verse of the song, she managed to get a little more darker, and here is the clip of that song. "Many dead men will it take to build a dike that will not break? How many children must we kill?" And then, so here she's talking about how many people have to die for this war, how many children need to die for this war. So yes, while it was a song about a soldier, it's clear that she's talking about the war in general and how many people were being killed over there. And going back to how I mentioned Baez actually going over there to Vietnam to talk, it actually sparked an entire album called Where Are You Now, My Son? And on that album, you can actually hear U.S. bombings happening outside, the air raid sounds. Spoken lyrics from sergeants who she was with at the time. So, you know, so while she was there, she had decided to record, you know, this piece of the album just because of how important it was for people to hear what was going on and hear the air raid sounds and you know, hear first accounts of what was actually happening. Okay, so this is the second part. I'm not sure if you're going to need this. So it'll start in 3, 2, 1. Another artist that was also in the folk genre is Tom Paxson. Tom Paxson, he wasn't as much of a vocal activist as Baez during the Vietnam War era, but his music had always had influences of political topics and civil rights. So he definitely had, you know, that mindset of fighting for rights. He just wasn't as in the streets per se as Baez was. You know, he definitely had a voice and he used it to talk a lot about his disagreements with the Vietnam War. In his song, Lyndon Johnson Told the Nation, he placed the blame of lying about the war directly on Johnson, which you can hear right here.
"Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation. I am and trying everyone to please. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese.
I really think the end of the lyrics here are focusing on, though it isn't really war, sending 50,000 more to help the Vietnam from the Vietnamese. It really shows how ridiculous and contradictory people found Johnson to be regarding the war. So like I said before, you know, even though Paxton wasn't as in the streets as Baez was, he definitely still had that voice that he wanted to get across in his music. And, you know, he placed all the blame almost on Lyndon Johnson in that song. And it was a very popular song at the time that a lot of people heard. And, you know, to hear some musical artists being like, hey, you know, Lyndon Johnson is the one that did all of this. I think it was, a really important aspect of music influencing how people saw, you know, the war and just aiding in their protest against it.
We've been talking about the many different genres of music alive in the 1960s. As we look at the broad subject of rock and roll, I'll focus on two songs in particular, Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones and Fortunate Son by California-based Creedence Clearwater Revival. In addition to looking at these two songs, we'll also look at how rock and roll changed over the decade, especially focusing on the years from around 1964 to 1970. The first we'll be looking at is titled Taking Care of Business, Rock Music, Vietnam, and the Protest Myth by Kenneth Bindis and Greg Houston. We're also going to be looking at an interview on NPR with Mick Jagger describing Gimme Shelter and a little bit of what it's about, and also an article in the Rolling Stone that came from an interview with John Fogerty, the frontman of CCR. In looking at these sources, we find that rock and roll isn't a catalyst for the anti-war movement in America in the 1960s. Instead, it reacts to the anti-war movement. In the first source by Bindis and Houston, we see evidence of this, as it states, during the initial years of the Vietnam War, rock and roll remained non-committal while the American public supported the United States' role there. A 1965 Gallup poll revealed that 64% believed America was justified in becoming involved in Vietnam. There are a few reasons why the rock and roll industry didn't immediately jump up and protest the U.S. involvement in Vietnam. One reason for the industry's silence is at this point in time, the FCC is actively threatening radio stations to not play anything with questionable content. This includes lyrics, protest songs, and a lot of the rebellious nature that rock and roll was built on. Also at this time in 1965, Columbia Records is only making 15% of their total net profit off the genre. Because of this, artists and record companies don't have the economic incentive to be producing any type of protest music in 1965. Things picked up for protest songs in the rock industry from 1965 to 1967, however, as 7 rock songs total were released during this span of time. Of those 7, only 2 managed to crack the top 100, however, so it was a slow rise. This 2-year drought for the rock and roll industry came just before 1969 and the release of Creedence Clearwater Revival's huge hit, Fortunate Son. Fortunate Son was released 1 year after the Tet Offensive, which marked a huge turning point in U.S. public opinion in the war. The Tet Offensive, which happened in 1968, seemed to be a turning point not only for public opinion, but also for rock and roll. According to the article written by Bindis and Houston, in February 1968, 61% of Americans considered themselves hawks, and 70% advocated for continued bombing. A second poll in 1968, released in early April, recorded that 41% of Americans believed themselves hawks, and another 41% considered themselves doves. And in the 21 to 29-year-old category, which was a main target for the rock and roll music industry, 42% considered themselves doves, and 41% hawks. Along with a huge downturn in support of the war in Vietnam in 1968, the rock industry also put out 5 anti-war songs, 4 of which hit the top 100, 2 of those cracking the top 20. Here we see the rock and roll industry following public opinion rather than forming it or being the catalyst to it. The industry responds with anti-war and protest songs after public support for the war had already plummeted. And in 1969, with Fortunate Son criticizing the elite's decision to send other people's children to war while theirs stayed safe, galvanized the anti-war movement in America, as is shown by a 1969 Gallup poll, which finds 55% of Americans considering themselves doves and only 31% as hawks. In conclusion, rock and roll didn't necessarily set off the anti-war movement in America, but rather amplified the displeasure felt by Americans, along with the disapproval many Americans felt towards the U.S.'s stance in Vietnam was an overwhelming feeling of despair, as in 1968 not only did the violence of the Tet Offensive reach home on every television screen, but also two senseless political assassinations occurred in 1968, including the one of Martin Luther King Jr. This feeling of despair is encapsulated perfectly by a, quote, very moody piece about the world closing in on you a little bit, written by the Rolling Stones. This very moody piece that Mick Jagger is referencing in his interview with NPR is, of course, the hit song Gimme Shelter, also released in 1969 by the Rolling Stones. Both Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones and Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival instantly bring strong feelings of the 60s, which is why in the famous movie Forrest Gump, when the director needs to change scenes from Alabama to Vietnam, he uses a 15-second clip of Fortunate Son in order to make the transition. I'm now going to leave you with a clip of Fortunate Son. Enjoy.
For my contribution to our project, I had analyzed two rock songs from the 1960s to 1970s. The first song that I analyzed was War Pigs by the Black Sabbath, which was an anti-war song. The song was released in the 1970s during the peak of the Vietnam War, which gave the song even more meaning than intended to. The song is talking about politicians, which are the people that decided to go to war, but not actually put boots on the ground. One of the song's lines is treating people just like pawns in chess, which means that politicians are the people that give the orders to move the soldiers, aka the pawns, and refrain from getting into battle and getting their hands dirty. The line is also saying that politicians think as soldiers as worthless as by comparing them to a chess piece. Overall, the song is a very big contribution to anti-war protests and became one of Black Sabbath's most recognized songs. The second song that I had analyzed for this project was Ballad of the Two Brothers by Gary Inman, which is a pro-war Vietnamese song. The song is about a soldier in Vietnam who is portrayed as brave and heroic and writing a letter back to his family back home. The soldier is speaking up for what he believes in, saying that his place in Vietnam is needed and that the war is needed to preserve the South Vietnamese freedom, which is getting taken away. The hippie in the song is talking about the war, which he knows nothing about other than what is portrayed to him from the media. Overall, the song shows how the war is benefiting society by helping the people in trouble, and it shows that we shouldn't just ignore an issue of people in need of help. Instead, we should go and help fight for them.
But you know, just being here and seeing how close these people are to losing their freedom makes me that much more determined to help win this war. Because if we don't, the next battlefield may be a lot closer to home than Vietnam.
These songs are only a few of the examples out of hundreds of songs across a lot of different genres that debated, protested, and supported the efforts of the United States involvement in the Vietnam War. Music became a peaceful outlet for both artists and their listeners that allowed them to argue and express their many different opinions about the war. Many of the artists themselves were Vietnam veterans and sang about the issues they had with sending young men from poor and working class families over to fight a war started by people who had enough money and power to avoid the draft. Pro-war songs, on the other hand, attempted to increase patriotism and support throughout the United States. However, contrary to what some people said at the time, the popular protest songs were not necessarily in protest of the military or those fighting in Vietnam. They were simply opposed to U.S. involvement and to the unwillingness of those in power to fight in a war that they themselves had started. The use of music during this time sparked movements all across the country and really goes to show the effect that media can have in all aspects of people's daily lives in both the past and the present, since many of these songs are still really popular today.